Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, we're moving out of the struggle and into that light. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Hello, everybody, and thank you for stopping in for this Friday's reflection. I'd like to start this episode off with a quote from Pope Paul VI. This is what he says. All life demands struggle. Those who have everything given to them become lazy, selfish, and insensitive to the real values of life. The very striving and hard work that we so constantly try to avoid is the major building block in the person we are today. I selected this quote because today's theme is really about struggle. So here on Motivate Me this week has been pretty amazing. Monday was our 100th episode, and it felt really great to connect with you and to include some of you in the episode in a way that could inspire others and continue to inspire me. One of the ideas I shared with you this week is the concept of struggle. It's an idea that kept showing up throughout all of the episodes, so I thought we should reflect on it here rather than trying to brush past it as if it doesn't exist, as if in doing so we can ignore or deny it. The thing about struggle is that so often we do it silently. So often we're embarrassed by it or feel like a burden because of it. I want you to think back to the first time you remember feeling yourself struggling. I know exactly when that is for me. For me, it brought me back to the 7th grade where my friendships were shifting, my grades started slipping for the first time in my life, and I was awkward in my changing body, you know? I've mentioned this place in my life before on the show. The supposed best friend who embarrassed me in front of all of our friends. I can still see her laughing at me in the hallway, a group of kids laughing with her and at me all around us. This may sound small, but it was the springboard for the darkness that I feel filled my life many of the rest of my school days. Because it seemed small is probably why I kept it in. Being defriended in that day and age or this day and age feels horrible. Being defriended by family on Facebook, like immediate family, is when you know you've reached the peak. I love this saying that Kelly from our private Facebook group posted recently. Isn't it funny how people would rather stop speaking to you than admit they were wrong? I can't say I've never been guilty of this either. I have shared with you in the past a concept about suicide that I said I always made sure to communicate with my students. And it's this: suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. But there's something else I always made sure to add, and that is that so often we keep things in that we think will get us in trouble or get people mad, things that will embarrass us or show our weaknesses. The thing is, releasing what is haunting us to someone, to anyone, frees us from it, makes it powerless, has an amazing way of showing us how small something truly is and how big we make it. I learned that in the 7th grade when I finally went to speak to a counselor and told him about my bad grades. It took a little time. But soon that green fire-breathing dragon that was chasing me around in the castle every night in my dreams disappeared. This story sounds so juvenile now, right? But is it? Is it really? There's a part of me that will always be that seventh grader, and the fifth grader that was me, and the third grader that was me, and the four-year-old who remembers no longer being the baby of the family anymore. And for a long time, some of these things got the better of me. I'm happy to say, though, that I've reached a place where I'm thankful for every one of these experiences. I've reached a place where I see that it is these that have instilled empathy in me. How can you look at what you're going through and see either how it's helped you grow now or how it will help you in the future? I'm thinking about so many of my guests and listeners right now, people who are battling through cancer treatment, divorce, the illness of a child, death of a loved one, abandonment, financial difficulties, addictions. Can you look at what you're experiencing now and see how the wisdom you're gaining will enable you to be more empathetic? Or to see how you'll be able to help others who are experiencing the same at some point down the road in your life? Okay, so let's see where the idea of struggle surfaced in the shows this week. On Monday, I called out to all of my struggling listeners, and here is an excerpt for you. Before I leave you today, I would like to acknowledge those of you who find yourselves struggling. Whether there has been a tragedy in your life, a divorce, an illness, whether you are missing someone who is far away or who may never return, whether you are mourning the loss of a friendship or work three jobs to make ends meet. Hear me when I say that life has the most amazing way of turning itself around, and it can happen in one split second. It can happen in the start of a new relationship, in the start of a new job, in achieving a goal, in the contents of a letter, or the contents of a lottery ticket. Don't give up. Try your best to find the lessons and the learning in it all. And dream. Continue to put yourself and your ideas out into the world because you never know who could hear you. Who could help, how your life could change in that one split second. There's really not much more than this that I can add except this. We often hear people talk about the benefits of having a coach in life. This can take form in a life coach, business coach, health and wellness coach, transformation, or even a therapist. I definitely believe that everybody needs an honest support system in their life. Someone who has no stake in the other person's success or failure. Someone who is knowledgeable, but doesn't feel competitive and doesn't judge. For many people, this is extremely difficult to find. Coaching is all about helping clients make plans that will work for them. Plans that do not include the opinions of the coach. Plans that are created by the client and who they know themselves to truly be, not by someone who's telling them who they should be or what they want them to be. This is how I came up with the entire idea of Motivate Me. I wanted to inspire people. And here's a fun fact for you. I really wanted to name the show Inspo, but I was talked out of it. Anyway, I wanted to present to you listeners, people who are living exciting lives, and I wanted you to learn from them. I wanted you to do what people naturally do, pull bits and pieces of information from life and apply it to your own, to devise a plan that will work for you based on these findings, in a non-threatening, non-invasive way. This show is my way of coaching you, of helping you to make a plan that suits you. I had three people this week tell me that the show has helped them in this way. One person is leaving an unhappy job for a business she has purchased. Another is updating her resume as we speak, and another is leaving an unhappy relationship that she has been trying to save for the past 2 years. Wednesday's guest, Derek Loudermilk, said that in every hero's journey, at least some struggle is to be expected. In the end, the star is still a hero, and you are the star of your show. All right, so on Tuesday, we had a guest. Her name was Megan Arneman, and Meg is a team leader for AmeriCorps. Her current purpose is to travel around the country with other 18 to 24-year-olds to help rebuild struggling areas and to give relief to struggling people and sometimes struggling communities, districts, wherever they're needed. Megan talks in the interview about her personal experience approaching her senior year of college and struggling with the idea that teaching the career she had been striving for her entire life may not be her goal, or just not yet anyway. She struggled with conforming to societal norms. You know, go through the school system, go to college, get the lifelong career, be married, have a child. She saw people walking around who were unhappy in their life and their decisions. And she was strong enough to say, I don't want to sign up for all of this right this second, at just 21 years old. What we can learn from Megan is her strong resolve to resist norms, to have the difficult conversation with her parents, to apply to a program that would bring her across the country and away from friends and family for extended periods of time. What is so powerful about what Megan did is that she acted. She didn't like where she was headed, and she did something about it. In the end, she says that she ended up finding her true self and true confidence and possibly her true calling. Okay, so Wednesday, Derek Loudermilk. Loudermilk. There are so many similarities between Derek's story and Megan's. He too found himself in a direction he realized was not his own. He was a graduate science student headed for academia just like his father. But it was a long walk on an island in Hawaii that made him realize he needed to be out experiencing life and not living it in a dark room behind a microscope. Since then, he's been to each of the 50 states and he's currently living on his fourth continent. The kid from St. Louis is a coach, contributing writer, and an entrepreneur who is traveling the world. Derek struggled in his career change, and he is challenged daily to create an income that will allow him his lifestyle. But he's doing it. And while doing it, he has gained a great appreciation for what struggle is, being an American who has lived in multiple developing countries. Thursday, business and sales coach Paul Kirch taught us a lesson in how to keep the momentum going when the honeymoon phase of starting your own business fades. He discusses multiple examples of realities that can wear the entrepreneur down. And he gives us ideas and resources of how to build that momentum back up. If you find yourself past that honeymoon phase and are feeling overwhelmed with your business, or you want to prepare yourself for what happens when the novelty and creativity wears off, make sure to listen to episode 103. This leads us to Friday. Here we are, 1 week from Christmas. As I said earlier, struggle comes in many forms, and nowhere is it more prevalent than during the holiday season. If you're someone for whom the holidays are difficult, what can you do to change that? I recently read a story in Woman's World magazine about a woman whose husband passed away unexpectedly. They had two sons. Christmas was nearing, and she was dreading it, and her kids were feeling it too. Until one day, a box of pears appeared on her front step. And the next day, and I quote, "Tucked between dove ornaments, there were a bunch of shiny wrapped packages of dove chocolates." I think you get where we're going here. Yes, this went on for the final 12 days before Christmas. A song I promise you, you do not want me to sing for you. She and her kids were so excited to see what the next day would bring. She and her kids were not feeling so alone in their grief anymore. This experience was so life-changing for her. It inspired her so greatly that she created In 12 Days. And you can find that at in12days.com. It's an organization that shares this joy with families who have lost a loved one. She's even written a book titled In 12 Months that talks about her personal experience. Suzanne says in the article, "When you lose someone you love, you have nothing to hold on to. But bringing people joy brings you joy. There's an incredible power to giving. And we know for sure now, love never fails." So for you, is there a way you can get involved in the type of service that will bring light back into your life? The kind that makes you realize nothing feels better than trying to improve the life of another. Listeners, this is what you do for me each and every day. You are often on my mind. I am sending you my warmest thoughts and wishes, and I hope that you too can find a way to take those struggles, and instead of allowing them to hold you back, I hope you use them to propel you forward. So, for today's go do, go out and find a way to help somebody else so you can see how amazing that feels. That's it for today. Please remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.